is a specialist in failure.
Louis from God's army!
Hello and welcome back to the Football Foundry, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm your host, James, and that is...
Matt.
Sometimes yes. I like to get you to say your name, just so you remember it.
Say my name.
How are you doing, Matt? You all good?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I mean, we are joining you all a little bit later this week, because obviously it made more sense to record after the England-Poland game than before it, because then we could talk about all the England games. And we'll go from there. But before we do get into the England games, I mean, this international weekend, Matt, or week, whatever you want to say, has thrown up some stories, hasn't it?
Yeah, with one thing and another, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest one's obviously Brazil against Argentina, because what a game that was.
4 minutes, was it? 4 minutes long?
I think it may be pushed to 5, mate. Come on, there was the added time.
Yeah, interesting game.
But yeah, the health officials obviously stormed the pitch after 4 Premier League players that apparently gave false information as to where they flew from and broke quarantine rules. It was Lo Celso, Buendia, Amy Martinez and Romero.
Yep,
if I'm remembering correctly.
You are.
For Argentina, apparently they were on holiday somewhere,
yeah,
or they flew to somewhere else and then flew to Argentina to Brazil. Sorry,
okay,
to my understanding, yeah. I think that's what they've done that's broken the rules. But they said they flew from the UK, so I don't know what's happened.
No, apparently they said they haven't been in the UK, that was the issue.
What, they said they weren't in the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well... Oh, right, okay, maybe I've understood it wrong then. But either way, they've been naughty. And, it's so weird seeing all these, like, guys that we just look like fans, pretty much, just running onto the pitch and taking them all away. It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
Imagine if this, like, becomes a thing that catches on, like, I don't know, you got Kyle Walker running down wing for City, and then next thing you know, some traffic warden comes on because he parked on a double yellow and he's got a fine to pay.
Jesus.
Or like Harry Kane, his extension's not got planning permission, so a dude from council's running on like, I need to sort this out.
I don't think there's any danger of that happening, mate.
Yeah. It would be brilliant, though. It would be absolutely brilliant. So resulting this as well, so Argentina obviously had their situation with the 4 players, and now they're not allowed to play because they got to miss out on the Premier League games, etc. But now Brazil, see, there was a whole thing before the international break about clubs trying to prevent players from leaving to red listed countries.
And
I mean, some places succeeded, others didn't. But 8 Premier League players have now been banned from playing for their clubs until Wednesday after the Brazilian FA have triggered a FIFA ruling, which I don't 100% know what it is. But I think Brazil have just basically got the knickers in a twist over the
pretty
whole...
Much.
Because clubs weren't prepared to release the players to them to play the games that they had planned. So the players are Fred of Man United, Jesus and Edison of Man City. Then you got Liverpool trio Fabinho, Alisson and Firmino. And then you got Rafinha of Leeds and Thiago Silva of Chelsea. And obviously you got the 4 players from the Argentina team that we listed before. But the interesting thing is, Matt, is that Everton have held no grudges against allowing Richarlison to go play for Brazil either being for the Olympics or basically whenever they need him. They just let him go play. And just to show how petty Brazil are being, they've said, oh yeah, but Richarlison's fine. He can play. And so what I don't understand is what this ruling is that they've triggered.
No idea, mate. It's
because, I mean, it only broke today. We obviously recording after the Poland game. It broke not long before that. And I just don't understand what it is that they've triggered. Because surely if them eight players are now not allowed to play and they've been banned, why isn't Richarlison? Or is it because the
there is a ruling that teams can stop players going to play friendlies for their international countries, but they can't actually stop them playing for competitive games.
Yeah,
that's the issue.
So is that the ruling that they've triggered?
Yeah.
Right, I'm with you. So that's why everyone feigns injuries in that then.
Yes, that's clearly how they get out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go then. That's that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You learn something new every day, don't you? So let's move on into England. Obviously, the first game of the three, because it's not usual we get three World Cup qualifiers, is it?
Back no, to back, not to at back. All, but coming all so, these games in.
Yeah. Decent games as well, to be fair. But the first one against Hungary, beaten 5-0, cruised, no 4-0. Issues. 4-0. Oh, it, 4. No, it was 5, the first game.
No, it wasn't. It was 4.
Was it 4?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, because Declan Rice. No, that was Andorra.
No. Where Lingard it was still 4-0.
Yeah.
100%.
I thought it was. I thought so. But yes, the biggest issue was the racist, vile Hungarians that were obviously kicking off when Sterling scored his goal, and he just kept going and going and going. There was the booze for the taking the knee.
Yep.
The images from that game of the likes of Declan Rice and Jack Grealish just drinking from the cups. They're brilliant. And then you got the likes of like Maguire and Stones looking on. And I saw like a meme get put up saying like Maguire and Stones look like the hard lads that are going to have to step in because the little rowdy mate's causing trouble.
Pretty much.
And Grealish is there necking the drink. Oh, it's brilliant. But the thing I just want to talk about in this, it's not necessarily the game because, I mean, the game is pretty straightforward. England just cruised through it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about stronger punishments for nations that have racist fans.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I can't remember which player it was that said it now. There's a player that said about banning the countries from the tournaments.
Yeah.
And that is literally the best possible solution.
Yeah, it would be.
Because these fines and everything like that and banning the fans, etc., they'll always find a way into these stadiums regardless. And the best way to stop them is to literally just say, right, well, you're not playing in them.
It's probably the best way to do it. It's the strongest message they could possibly put across. Definitely.
And say like they've got to skip this World Cup or they've got to get kicked out of this year and do it even through qualifiers. Don't like even if they've qualified, whatever.
Yeah.
Kick them out. Give the runner up that had the second most points the place.
Yeah.
Like it's a joke. It just keeps going on and on and on, and they slap a 30 grand fine to them. What's 30 grand to these federations?
No, nothing at all. It's
ridiculous.
At all.
But something stronger needs doing than just a slap on wrist and a cheeky little fine.
Yeah, agreed.
And the fans obviously getting banned because they just keep finding the way back in and in and in. And nationalities like Hungary, they're going to be...
Hungary.
Because I was going to say Hungarians.
Hungarian.
So I'm not well. Give me a break. yeah, they're just going to keep finding their way back in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you'll get it all over the world, but there's countries that have got stronger racist tendencies than others.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, they need to do something and quick. But it did actually highlight how much of a professional group that Gareth Southgate's managed to build.
Yeah.
Because they dealt with it really well, and they stick together quite well on these kind of things, which is good to see.
Yeah.
So it's about being a role model in it for all the younger people and stuff like that. So it's good that they are actually setting those kind of examples, and the way that they just stick together on it. And I mean, there's the Harry Kane thing about getting interviewed after the game. They asked to see if he heard the racist chants towards, is it Bellingham and someone else?
Yeah, it was, I can't remember who
Sancho was. It
could have been,
I can't remember who it was now. It definitely Bellingham, I know that, but I can't remember who the other player was. But he openly said, look, I didn't hear it, but it is something that we're going to go review. Like, I'll speak to the lads and we'll raise it. Trust me, it won't go like unnoticed or whatever. So it's good to see that even when Harry Kane himself's not heard it, they're still gonna stick with the team and
yeah, absolutely,
and fight it, because it's the only way they're gonna beat it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, agree.
It's the only way. England against Andorra. Southgate's dream of playing three right backs in a game came true. I mean, he's obsessed with right backs. He can't move for right backs, and he played all three in one game.
Yeah, obviously it was Reece James, Trent, and Trippier in this one.
Yeah,
he could have squeezed Walker in if he really
wanted. Yeah, no, could have played him as a centre half.
Absolutely,
could have got him in there.
Completely different team.
Yeah, 11 changes, and just against Andorra, you were kind of expecting it, really, weren't you? I mean, what a dream for Saka, getting a goal on his birthday, and just after the summer that he's had.
Yeah,
it definitely shines a light on him, doesn't it?
Absolutely, we needed that bit of a confidence boost, and obviously it was great to see how the crowd reacted to him as well, because I don't think there's a single boo for him from an English fan in there, so it was good.
Did you see the post-match interview where they sang happy birthday to him?
No.
Oh, it's brilliant. He's just having his interview, and the fans just start singing happy birthday, and he's like, he gets proper emotional about it. Yeah, he's dead sweet.
No, I've not seen him. That's
brilliant.
Cool.
It's brilliant. And it's like quite a touching moment for him, because obviously it does show that there are good fans out there, and they're not all racist, vile scum. But it's good to see moments like that.
Yeah,
I mean, he could have had two goals as well. Really early on, he could have slotted that one in. But I mean, defender got his leg in way, didn't he? And deflection.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we had quite a lot of chances in this game, but we just a lot of time couldn't hit the target or weren't clinical enough. But yeah, he was unlucky. He definitely could have added more to his tally in this game.
Do you know what's really upsetting as well? Bamford going off, Kane coming on, and then England getting a penalty, and it's like, Bamford could have just been on that pitch a little bit longer.
Bamford got himself a bad goal. Game, to be fair. He got himself a bow. His balls never really fell for him.
I think, the annoying thing is, and it's tight on the striker that comes in to fill Kane, because the play style that we have, we don't really adjust it as to who's playing up front.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the play style should have been different, because Bamford's not the same player as what Kane is.
Definitely
Kane will drop back and feed the runners, whereas Bamford doesn't always play that way.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's the way that they stuck with playing, and it didn't really benefit Bamford too much. But like you say, he did try and get his chances and things, and get on the ball as much as possible. So
yeah,
can't really fault him. Yeah, can't fault him at all. Lingard, two goals.
Yeah, he obviously had a point to prove again. Because obviously he's not getting that many minutes at Man U, so he needs to take his chances where he can get them. But yeah, comfortable game. Could have had a hat trick.
Could have. He had a really good game. But, I mean, it goes back to that thing, doesn't it, with Southgate, that he likes to rely on these kind of people, because they do perform for him.
Yeah.
And Lingard is one of them that does perform well for Gareth Southgate.
Absolutely.
But I mean, does he get into the squad when you got Rashford, Sancho, Foden, Fit, and Greenwood?
Um, If he's not playing for Man U, definitely not.
If he goes out on loan and has another season like he did with West Ham to that later stage.
All depends how the other players are playing.
That is true. I mean, Greenwood at the minute, you can't stop him, can you?
Southgate can't, didn't pick him.
That is true. That is very true. there's got to be something behind that, isn't there? There's got to be like some beef or something.
I have no idea. It's an odd one. Apparently, England and Man United have been speaking about it towards each other, and it isn't. It's nothing permanent. I don't know. It's just out of taking him. Imagine him against Andorra. He'd rip a new one.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like, maybe it's this mold that he's built and the maturity that he's trying to grasp out of play. Maybe he's not quite as mature as what he seems off the pitch.
I don't know. Obviously, he had that incident with Phil Foden, whenever it was. But you got to get him back in the squad just to see if he has matured, because he's not been back in the squad since then, but Foden has.
Exactly. And I think he has definitely warranted a call back up. Because it's not like when you get players constantly in headlines for like drink driving and out clubbing and all this sort of crap. Like he's playing his game. He's not like in papers for anything he shouldn't be, etc. Yeah. He's not done a Benjamin Mendy for God's sake. None of that kind of crap. Like he gets on with his football by the looks of him. But I mean, we don't know him behind closed doors, do we? So you just never know. Might have bit of beef, but God knows. Jesse Lingard as well. Obviously, one of his talking points is his celebration.
Ronaldo's celebration.
Jeerlings and a Sue, wasn't it? Bit of a strange combination. I mean, it's going to be funny when Ronaldo just laughs in his face because they never play together. Yeah, no. But, I mean, you never know. You never know. He might come on as a sub at some point. Poland against England, tonight's game. So I thought Poland played this game really well.
Yeah, tactically and the style of play, they couldn't play it much better, really. England are obviously the favourites in this game, and they just got in our faces, broke it up, lots of fouls, couldn't really get the game flowing, and just kept pressing.
They took the flow away. The flow was gone.
Yeah.
Like it was hard for them to get anything building. Like we didn't hold onto the ball long enough to get a good bit of momentum, something to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as soon as the player was taking a touch, two or three Polish men were around him straight away.
Absolutely.
And just robbing him at ball, or like you say, even chucking a cheeky little foul.
Absolutely.
I mean, the ref was having none of it. Like he really dosed up on his glue before this game. I swear to God.
Phillips got booked in the first 6-7 minutes for not even a booking, but he got booked. But yeah, the ref was definitely happy, I should say, for this one.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, number 7, I can't remember his name now, for Poland. He should have been booked about 4 times over, the amount of fouls he put in on Grealish. And I think he looked at Grealish and thought, you're not getting free kicks for me, kid. Not happening. Because obviously Grealish has got a bit of a tendency to go over a bit easier than some others, but
he does.
I mean, a lot of them free kicks they was calling for were quite well warranted. Like shirt dragged. One of them had his arms round him and was bear rugging him.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it was crazy. It's crazy, but I mean, it kind of worked for him in a way because they got in Grealish's head and He kept trying Grealish, but he kept also giving up once the foul had happened and he wasn't getting what he wanted.
Yeah, I didn't think Grealish had his best game at all. I think he kept trying too hard just to be skipping people, and that when he should have just been getting it out of his feet and passing it around. There was a couple of times where, he just held onto the ball too long for my liking.
Yeah. But yeah, second half came. I mean, we had that half-time scrap as well. I mean, Glick, he's a bit of a wild one because he came on to Kyle Walker and pinched his throat, didn't he?
Yeah, and that was before the end of the game, and the ref was right there as well because it was a weird one, that.
Bit of a strange one, that, because, I mean, that's a bit... I'd consider that a bit of a bookable thing because he's pinched his throat.
Yeah, man.
And then obviously there was a whole kickoff. I don't. We couldn't really see what happened because.
Yeah, we never actually showed how that started.
Yeah, I thought from it all kicking off and obviously the cameras panning back and trying to see what happened, I thought that Walker and Glick had carried on the little spat that they were having. Because as that free kick got whipped in, I mean, you saw Glick and Walker. They were like wrestling each other to ground and Walker came off a bit stronger. But, I mean, somehow Maguire ended up getting booked. No one knows what happened.
I don't even know what Maguire did wrong. No, weird one.
Maguire didn't even know what Maguire did wrong, really, because he was just sort of like, why am I getting booked?
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, God knows. But in the second half, the tired legs started to come out a little bit for Poland. The gap started opening up a bit. But, I mean, England weren't really at their best because when they got in behind, like you say, Grealish held onto the ball a bit too long and maybe should have played the past three or four strides sooner.
Yeah, agree. Yeah.
Same as Sterling.
Yeah, there was one point where he ran himself into the box and down on the right hand side, skipped a couple of plays and turned back on himself twice and had to go backwards and lost the ball when he could have put it in across. So yeah, that was a bit for me odd as well.
He sat that defender on his ass, and for me, that's when you whip it in, or that's when you take your shot, or when you attempt something because their man has gone. He's out the game, but he had a chance to get back up. And also attempt to make another tackle, which shouldn't be happening. You sat him on his ass, you've turned him, he's done, he's gone, do something. But no, he's twinkle toes and that, innit?
Yeah.
But I mean, the lack of movement as well. The only person who was really moving was Kane, and that was to try and get on the ball.
Yeah, more times now he was at right back.
Yeah. Like, it was ridiculous how much Kane was having to shift around to try and get onto the ball or help with the build-up of play. Yeah. Because there was a lack of movement and we didn't capitalise on the fact that Poland got a bit tired, and when they started to freshen up, fair enough, we were 1-0 up at this point and they started to freshen up, but we should have been 2, maybe 3-0 up.
Yeah.
And then the equaliser later on wouldn't have been an equaliser. It's just been a consolation goal.
Absolutely.
But they obviously kept building momentum with the freshness and we didn't really make... Did we make any changes? We didn't make any, did we?
No, not a single sub was made.
No. So, I mean, there you go. It answers itself, doesn't it? John Stones were on verge of coming off at half time.
Yeah.
And he played full game. So, I mean, surely his legs were feeling a bit done in.
Yeah, there's definitely arguments to see why Southgate didn't make a sub, but I can see on the other side hand why he didn't. So, it's just.
I mean, that Rice and Phillips combination, man. I never knew we needed that going into Euros, but we need that.
I'm fully behind Rice and...
Massive fan.
Phillips, massively behind them.
I like that they're like old school about it as well. Old school and modern mixed together.
Yeah.
And it's like perfect. Rice is your like rugged, like I'll follow you anywhere kind of guy. And Phillips is just like, just a dog off a lead. Like, that guy's insane. He's like the Leeds answer to N'Golo Kante.
Yeah.
Like, he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. Can't fault them two at all. All summer, every time they pull on England shirt, them two always get 110%.
Brilliant.
But, I mean, qualifying overall should be pretty standard and straightforward either way.
Should be.
Not that it ever is or was difficult in the first place, but... So what we're going to do now, Matt, we're going to start off, should I stay or should I go? This is where we obviously build a squad. I forgot the sound clip, Matt. Shame on me. Shame.
All right. So Game of Thrones.
So this is where we build our England squad for the upcoming tournament, which is obviously the 2022 World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah.
We do this every time leading up to a tournament. We pick players, we put them in. Once the squad is full, we're back down to a 23-man squad this time though, Matt.
Yes, we are.
So, I mean, the benefit that we had last time, we had a 26-man squad, was it last time?
Yep.
Yeah, so we're having to cut it down by 3 men, and we really struggled for that last one.
We did. We definitely did.
Really struggled. But... I think now that we've seen the Euros and we've got a good idea of who this starting 11 is now, I think.
Today's starting 11 is England's starting 11.
Yeah, and I think the only room to swap or argue is probably Foden for Mount potentially.
Maybe, but I think he's always going to go ahead with Mount at the moment, so I don't see that changing. Yeah, he likes his Mount.
He does have a firm few inches in Mount, doesn't he?
Didn't say right. that, but
let's be honest. I'm pretty sure Mount's got one assist whilst he's played for England. No, that's tight. Yeah. But yeah, I prefer Foden personally. But But yeah, Mount's still class. But,
he is. Yeah. He's a good player.
So how we're going to start it off is we're both going to pick two players each to just go straight into the squad from these qualifying games.
Okay.
And then obviously throughout the season, what we then do is we start adding players, oddball players as well that might not necessarily usually feature.
Yeah.
Could have a really good season and then maybe go to the World Cup, result in that really good season.
Yeah.
And once we've done it and it's full, that's when we start then putting players forward to remove other players.
Yeah.
I mean, it might get to a point where we're like, oh my God, we've got a full 23-man squad and no one is competing this squad. And that's that.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah.
Then we're done. Yeah. And then we compare it to Southgate's squad and we're like, ha, we know football. Or, oops, he's not even English. Because
well, we'll I mean, they change bad. These
days. They change a lot these days, though, mate. They change a lot. I mean, how long do you think Ben White's going to last as English? God. He's probably got relatives from somewhere else. You never know. I mean, Wan-Bissaka's on way out, isn't he? Has he not changed allegiance yet?
Not yet, but that must be happening soon.
Because I'm pretty sure we had Wan-Bissaka in our Euros squad, did we?
We had him in our squad, yeah. But Southgate obviously didn't.
And he loves his right backs. Why is he not doing that?
You'd think could have him in
twice over. Could have called up bloody Holgate or someone as well and whacked them all in. Why not?
Jesus.
But yeah, have you got a rough idea of what two players you want to just chuck in there?
You could pick anyone from tonight's starting lineup to be truthful, mate, because they're all like,
yeah.
You could pick anyone, mate, out of there. Maguire and Phillips.
Okay, I was gonna go Rice and Phillips, but I'll stick with Rice and.
You might as well just put Kane in and just get that done with.
Yeah, go on then. We'll shove Kane in as well. Why not? He scored as well. You can't really
argue,
can you? He scored in all three games, to be fair to him. So, I mean, we'll start that off. So we've got Maguire, Rice, Phillips, because you can't knock that partnership. So Maguire, Rice, Phillips and Kane, and then we'll keep adding to that week on week. I mean, some of them will be quite straightforward. We'll just chuck all the bigger names in and stuff. But we might get weeks where some little underdogs come creeping through. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure we didn't even put Kane in this squad until, like, maybe March time. Because we're trying to get the other people in first and then...
That's true.
So, I mean, we could end up with some bigger names coming in towards the end when we're struggling to find... players that have had a decent week.
Yeah, of course.
Because I know we had the whole Lingard bet on, didn't we? If he got 18 goals in 18 games or whatever it was.
It was 14 and 14, I think, but obviously...
Do you know what, though? He didn't finish too far off.
No.
Like, he did all right. And we said that England goals and assists double.
Yep.
That was the agreement that we made. And if he did that and hit his target, he'd get into the squad. But, I mean, he wasn't too far away, was he?
No, not at all.
But that is everything from us this week. I mean, if you would like to get in touch with us and be like, I want to put this player into Should I Stay or Should I Go? You can do so by finding us on Facebook or Twitter.
At Footy Foundry.
And be sure to check out our partners, the Beautiful Game Network, by finding them on Twitter.
At BGNFM.
And finally, a huge thanks to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarf. They're the official scarf provider for the MLS, USL and US Soccer. You can get yourself a custom-made scarf for your team at...
roughneckscarves.com.
Woo! And we are done once again for another week. Tick. We will be back again on Monday as normal because, yeah. I mean, we've got normal Premier League football coming mm-hmm. up. So we'll be back to talk about that as usual on a Monday evening. And yeah, we'll see you then. Matt, yeah. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peace. Till next week. Thanks for listening. Bye. God, my outro is getting so awkward.
I know, mate.
You know, he is a specialist in favor.
Louis van Gaal's army!